Chapter 9. Follow the Leader. It was pitch dark.
"What happened?" asked Annie.
"I don't know. Something weird," said Jack. "We have to get out of here fast. Push against the door."
"Good idea," said Annie in a small voice.
They felt their way through the darkness to the top of the stairs.
"Don't worry. Everything's going to be okay," said Jack. He was trying to stay calm.
"Of course," said Annie.
They leaned against the wooden door and pushed. It wouldn't budge. They pushed harder. It was no use. Jack took a deep breath. It was getting harder to breathe and harder to stay calm.
"What can we do?" asked Annie.
Just rest a minute," said Jack, panting. His heart was pounding as he tried to see through the darkness.
"Maybe we should start down the hall," Annie said. "Maybe we'll eventually come to an exit."
Jack wasn't sure about that, but they had no choice.
"Okay, come on," he said. "Feel the wall."
Jack felt the stone wall as he climbed slowly down the stairs. Annie followed. Jack started down the dark hallway. It was impossible to see anything, but he kept going, taking one step at a time, moving his hands along the wall. Jack went around a corner. He went around another corner. He came to some stairs. He climbed up. Annie followed. There was a door. Jack pushed against it. Annie pushed too. This door wouldn't budge either. Or was it the same door? Jack and Annie stopped pushing. It was no use. They were trapped. Annie took Jack's hand in the dark. She squeezed it. They stood together at the top of the stairs, listening to the silence.
"Meow?"
"Oh, man," Jack whispered.
"He's back," said Annie.
"Meow?"
"Follow him," cried Jack. "He's going away from us."
Jack and Annie started down the dark hallway, following the cat's meow. Hands against the wall, they stumbled through the darkness.
"Meow?"
Jack and Annie kept following the sound all the way through the winding hallway. They went around one corner, then another, and another. Finally, they saw a light at the end of the tunnel. They rushed forward, out into the bright sunlight.
"Yay!"
Annie shouted. But Jack was thinking.
"Annie," he said, "how did we get out of the false passage?"
"The cat," said Annie.
"But how could the cat do it?" asked Jack.
"Magic," said Annie.
Jack frowned. "But
look," said Annie. She pointed. The cat was bounding away over the sand.
"Thank you,"
called Annie.
"Thanks," Jack shouted at the cat.
The cat's black tail waved. Then the cat disappeared in the shimmering waves of heat. Jack looked toward the palm trees. The magic treehouse sat like a bird's nest at the top of one.
"Time to go home," Jack said.
Jack and Annie set off for the palm trees. It was a long, hot walk. At last, Annie grabbed the rope ladder. Jack followed. Once they were inside the treehouse, Jack reached for the book about Pennsylvania. Suddenly, he heard a rumbling sound. It was the same sound he had heard in the pyramid.
"Look,"
Annie said, pointing out the window. Jack looked. A boat was beside the pyramid. It was gliding over the sand, like a boat sailing over the sea. Then the boat faded away into the distance. Was it just a mirage? Or was the Ghost Queen finally on her way to the next life?
"Home, Jack," whispered Annie.
Jack opened the Pennsylvania book. He pointed to the picture of Frog Creek.
"I wish we could go home," he said.
The wind began to blow. The treehouse started to spin. It spun faster and faster. Then everything was still, absolutely still. Chapter 10. Another Clue. Late morning sunlight shone through the treehouse window. Shadows danced on the walls and ceiling. Jack took a deep breath. The treehouse was back in the Frog Creek woods.
"I wonder what Mom's making for lunch," said Annie. She was looking out the window.
Jack smiled. Lunch. Mom. Home. It all sounded so real, so calm and safe. "I hope it's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches," he said.
"Boy, this place is a mess," said Annie. "We'd better make it neater in case Em comes back."
Jack had almost forgotten about Em.
"Will we ever meet Em?" Jack wondered.
"The person who seems to own all the books in the treehouse?"
"Let's put the Egypt book on the bottom of the pile," said Annie.
"Good idea," said Jack. He needed a rest before he visited any more ancient tombs.
"Let's put the dinosaur book on top of the Egypt book," said Annie.
"Yeah, good," said Jack. He needed a long rest before he visited another Tyrannosaurus Rex.
"The castle book can go on the very top of the pile," said Annie.
Jack nodded and smiled. He liked thinking about the knight on the cover of the castle book. He felt as if the knight was his friend.
"Jack," said Annie, "look." She was pointing at the wooden floor.
"What is it?" he asked.
"You have to see for yourself."
Jack walked to Annie and looked at the floor. He didn't see anything.
"Turn your head a little," said Annie. "You have to catch the light just right."
Jack tipped his head to one side. Something was shining on the floor. He tipped his head a bit more. It came into focus. It was the letter M. It shimmered in the sunlight. This absolutely proved the treehouse belonged to M. There was no doubt about it. Jack touched the M with his finger. His skin tingled. The leaves trembled. The wind picked up. "Let's go home now," Jack said. Jack grabbed his backpack. Then he and Annie climbed down the ladder. As they stood on the ground below the treehouse, Jack heard a sound in the bushes.
"Who's there?" he called.
The woods grew still.
"I'm going to bring the medallion back soon," Jack said loudly. "And the bookmark, too, both of them. Tomorrow."
"Who are you talking to?" asked Annie.
"I feel like Em is nearby," Jack whispered. Annie's eyes grew wide. "Should we look for Em?" But just then their mother's voice came from the distance.
"Jack! Annie!"
Jack and Annie looked around at the trees. Then they looked at each other. "Tomorrow," they said together. They took off, running out of the woods. They ran down their street. They ran across their yard. They ran into their house. They ran into their kitchen. They ran right into their mom. She was making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. This is Mary Pope Osborne. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Magic Treehouse, Book Number 3, Mummies in the Morning. This program was directed by Lewis Milgram, executive producer Orly Moskowitz. Text copyright 1993 and 2014 by Mary Pope Osborne. Production copyright 2017, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Listening Library presents Magic Treehouse, Book Number 4, Pirates Past Noon, by Mary Pope Osborne. Read for you by the author.
Chapter 1. Too Late. Jack stared out his bedroom window. The rain kept falling and falling.
"The TV said it would stop by noon," said Annie, his 7-year-old sister.
"It's already past noon," said Jack.
"But we have to go to the treehouse," said Annie. "I have a feeling the imperson will be there today."
Jack pushed his glasses into place and took a deep breath. He wasn't sure he was ready to meet the imperson yet. The mysterious person who put all the books in the magic treehouse.
"Come on," said Annie.
Jack sighed. "Okay," he said. "You get our raincoats and boots. I'll get the medallion and bookmark." Annie ran to get their rain gear. Jack reached into his drawer. He took out the medallion. It was gold. The letter M was engraved on it. Then he took out the bookmark. It was made of blue leather. It had the same M on it. Both M's matched the M that was on the floor of the treehouse. Jack put the medallion and bookmark into his backpack. Then he threw in his notebook and pencil. Jack liked to take notes about important things.
"I got our rain stuff," called Annie.
Jack picked up his pack and went downstairs. Annie was waiting by the back door. She was putting on her boots.
"Meet you outside," she said.
Jack pulled on his raincoat and boots. Then he put on his backpack and joined her. The wind was blowing hard.
"Ready, set, go,"
shouted Annie. They kept their heads down and charged into the rainy wind. Soon they were in the Frog Creek woods. Tree branches swayed, flinging rainwater everywhere.
"Yuck,"
said Annie. They splashed through puddles until they came to the tallest oak tree in the woods. They looked up. Tucked between two branches was the treehouse. It looked dark and lonely against the stormy sky. Hanging from the treehouse was a rope ladder. It was blowing in the wind. Jack thought of all the books up there. He hoped they weren't getting wet.
"The imperson's been there," said Annie.
Jack caught his breath.
"How can you tell?"
he said.
"I can feel it," she whispered.
She grabbed the rope ladder and started up. Jack followed. Inside the treehouse, it was chilly and damp, but the books were dry. They were all neatly stacked along the wall, just the way they had been the day before. Annie picked up a castle book on top of one stack. It had taken them to the time of castles.
"Remember the knight?"
she said. Jack nodded. He would never forget the knight who had helped them. Annie put down the castle book. She picked up the next book on the stack. It was the dinosaur book that had taken them to the time of dinosaurs.
"Remember?"
she said. Jack nodded. He'd never forget the pteranodon who had saved him from the Tyrannosaurus Rex. Then Annie held up a book about ancient Egypt.
"Meow,"
she said. Jack smiled. The Egypt book had taken them to the time of pyramids. A black cat had come to the rescue there.
"And here's the book about home," Annie said.
She held up the book with a picture of their hometown in it. Frog Creek, Pennsylvania. Jack smiled again. The Pennsylvania book had brought them back home at the end of each of their adventures. Jack sighed. Okay, he still had two main questions. Who was the imperson who had put all the books here? And did the knight, the pteranodon, and the cat all know the imperson? Finally, Jack reached into his backpack. He took out the gold medallion and the leather bookmark. He placed them on the floor, right over the spot where the M glowed faintly in the wood. Rain blew into the treehouse. "Brr," said Annie. "It's not very cozy today." Jack agreed with her. It was too wet and cold.
"Look,"
Annie pointed to an open book lying in the corner.
"I don't remember a book being open."
"Me neither," said Jack. Annie picked up the book. She stared at the picture on the page.
"Wow, this place looks great."
She showed the picture to Jack. He saw a sunny beach, a big green parrot sitting in a palm tree, and a ship sailing on a blue sea. Another gust of rainy wind blew into the treehouse. Annie pointed to the picture.
"I wish we were there instead of here," she said.
"Yeah," said Jack, "but where is there?"
"Too late,"
came a squawk. Jack and Annie turned quickly. Sitting on a branch outside the window ledge of the treehouse was a green parrot, exactly like the parrot in the picture.
"Too late,"
the parrot squawked again.
"A talking parrot," said Annie. "Is your name Polly? Can I call you Polly?"
Suddenly the wind started to whistle. "Oh no, now we're in big trouble," said Jack. The wind blew harder. The leaves shook. The treehouse started to spin faster and faster. Jack squeezed his eyes shut. Then everything was still, absolutely still. Jack opened his eyes.
"Too late,"
squawked Polly. Chapter 2, The Bright Blue Sea. Jack felt hot sunlight streaming into the treehouse. He smelled salt water. He heard the sound of waves. He and Annie looked out the window. The treehouse was in a palm tree. Beyond was a bright blue sea. A tall sailing ship was on the horizon. It was just like the picture in the book.
"Too late,"
squawked Polly.
"Look,"
said Annie. Polly was flying in circles above the treehouse. Then she swooped down to the ocean.
"Come on, let's follow her. Let's go in the water," said Annie.
She took off her raincoat and dropped it on the floor.
"Wait, we have to study the book first," said Jack.
He started to reach for the book, but Annie grabbed it.
"You can read it on the beach," she said.
Without even looking at the cover, she shoved the book into Jack's backpack. He sighed. Actually, the water did look wonderful.
"Okay," Jack said.
He took off his raincoat, too.
"Come on."
Annie handed Jack his backpack, then started down the ladder. Jack folded the raincoat and put it next to the stack of books. He put on his backpack, then he went down the ladder. As soon as Annie hit the sand, she ran toward the ocean. Jack watched her wade into the water. She was still wearing her rain boots.
"Your boots, Annie," called Jack.
She shrugged.
"They'll dry out,"
she said. Jack took off his boots and socks. He put them beside his pack. Then he rolled up his jeans and ran across the hot sand into the waves. The water was warm and clear. Jack could see shells and tiny fishes. He shielded his eyes against the sun and peered out at the sea. The tall sailing ship seemed a bit closer.
"Where's Polly?" said Annie.
Jack glanced around. No sign of Polly, not in the palm trees, not on the sunlit sand, not over the bright blue sea. When Jack looked out at the sea again, the ship seemed even closer. Now Jack could see its flag. As he stared at the ship's flag, a chill went through him. The flag was black, with a skull and crossbones.
"Oh, man," he breathed.
He started out of the water.
"What's wrong?"
said Annie. She splashed after him. Jack ran to his backpack. Annie followed. He grabbed the book from his backpack. He looked at the cover. For the first time, he and Annie read the title of the book.
"Yikes,"
said Annie. Pirates of the Caribbean, Jack read aloud. Chapter 3. Three Men in a Boat.
We've come to the time of pirates, Jack said.
Pirates? Squeaked Annie.
Like in Peter Pan?
Jack flipped to the picture that showed the parrot, the sea, and the ship. He read the caption under the picture. 300 years ago, pirates raided Spanish treasure ships in the Caribbean Sea. He grabbed his notebook and pencil from his pack. He wrote, Pirates in the Caribbean. He turned to the next page. There was a picture of a pirate flag. He read, The skull and crossbones flag was called the Jolly Roger.
Let's go, said Annie. Wait, said Jack. I want to make a drawing of the flag.
He propped the pirate book in the sand. He started drawing the Jolly Roger flag.
Don't copy the picture in the book, said Annie. Look at the real thing.
But Jack pushed his glasses into place and kept drawing.
Jack, some pirates are getting into a rowboat, said Annie.
Jack kept drawing.
Jack, the boat's leaving the big ship, said Annie.
What? Jack looked up.
Look!
Annie pointed. Jack looked. He saw the rowboat coming toward the shore.
Run! Said Annie.
She started running toward the treehouse. Jack jumped up. His glasses fell off.
Hurry!
Annie called back to him. Jack went down on his knees. He felt for his glasses. Where were they? Jack saw something glinting in the sand. He reached for it. It was his glasses. He snatched them up. Then he threw his notebook and pencil into his pack. He put the pack on his back. He grabbed his boots and his socks, and he took off running.
Hurry, they're coming!
Annie was at the top of the rope ladder. Jack looked back at the sea. The pirates were closer to the shore. Suddenly, Jack saw the pirate book. In all the confusion, he had forgotten it. It was still propped in the sand.
Oh, man, I forgot the book, he said.
He dropped his socks and boots below the treehouse.
Come on, Jack,
Annie shouted.
I'll be right back, Jack called. I've got to get the book. Jack, forget it.
But Jack was already running toward the water.
Jack grabbed the book. Come back, Annie shouted.
Jack shoved the book into his backpack. Suddenly, a giant wave carried the rowboat right onto the beach.
Run, Jack, shouted Annie.
Three big pirates splashed onto the sand. They had knives in their teeth. They had pistols in their belts. They charged toward Jack.
Run, Jack, run, cried Annie.
Chapter 4. Vile Booty. Jack started to run across the hot sand. He ran as fast as he could, but the pirates ran faster. Before Jack knew it, the biggest pirate had grabbed him. Jack struggled, but the pirate had huge, strong arms. He held on to Jack and laughed a mean, ugly laugh. He had a shaggy black beard. A patch covered one eye. Jack heard Annie yelling. He saw her coming down the rope ladder.
Stay where you are, Jack shouted.
But Annie kept coming.
Leave him alone, you bully, she cried.
The other two pirates laughed meanly. They were dirty and ragged. Annie charged up to the biggest pirate.
Let him go, she said.
She hit the pirate with her fist and kicked him. But the pirate just growled. Then he grabbed her, too, and with his giant hands, he held Jack and Annie as if they were two kittens.
No one escapes Cap'n Bones, he roared. His breath was terrible.
Let go,
Annie shouted into his face, but Cap'n Bones just smiled. All his teeth were black. Annie fell silent. Cap'n Bones laughed loudly. Then he turned to the other two.
Find out what's in their house, you dogs, he said.
Aye, aye, Cap'n,
they answered, and they started up the ladder to the treehouse.
What do you spy, Pinky?
Shouted Cap'n Bones.
Books, Cap'n,
Pinky shouted down.
Aye, books,
growled Cap'n Bones. He spit on the sand.
I want gold, you dogs.
Dogs are nicer than you, said Annie.
Psh, said Jack. What about you, Stinky? Cap'n Bones roared.
Just books, Cap'n,
shouted Stinky.
Ah, books, said Cap'n Bones.
He spit on the sand again.
I hate books. Keep looking, dogs. Find me something good.
Cap'n Bones grabbed Jack's backpack.
What's in here? He said.
Nothing. Jack quickly opened the pack. Just paper, a pencil, a book.
Another book, roared Cap'n Bones. That's vile booty.
A gleeful shriek pierced the air. Cap'n Bones froze.
What's that?
He shouted.
Look, Cap'n, look!
Pinky leaned out the treehouse window. He held the medallion. It glimmered in the sunlight. Oh, brother, thought Jack.
Throw it down, cried Cap'n Bones.
It's not yours, shouted Annie. Cap'n Bones dropped Jack and Annie. He caught the medallion as it fell.
Gold, 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 he cried.
Cap'n Bones threw back his head and laughed horribly. He grabbed two of his pistols. He shot them into the air. Pinky and Stinky howled like wolves. Chapter 5. The Kid's Treasure. Jack and Annie watched in horror. The gold-greedy pirates seemed to have lost their minds. Jack nudged Annie. Together they started to back slowly away from the pirates, toward the treehouse.
Halt!
Cap'n Bone shouted. He aimed his pistols at them.
Not another step, lubbers.
Jack and Annie froze. Cap'n Bones grinned his black tooth grin.
Tell old Bones where the rest is, he growled, or prepare to meet thy doom.
What rest? Said Annie.
The rest of the treasure, roared Cap'n Bones. I know it's on this island. I have a map.
He reached into a belt pouch and pulled out a torn piece of paper. He waved it at Jack and Annie.
Is that a treasure map?
Asked Jack.
Aye, it's the map telling about Kid's Treasure.
Which kid's treasure? Not us kids, said Annie. We don't know anything about a kid's treasure.
Why don't you read the map? Said Jack.
You read it.
Cap'n Bone shoved the map in Jack's face. Jack stared at the strange marks on the paper. What does that mean? Asked Jack.
What does what mean? Asked Cap'n Bones.
Those words. Jack pointed at the words at the bottom of the map.
Well, it means...
Cap'n Bones' good eye squinted at the writing. He frowned. He coughed. He rubbed his nose.
Oh, I'll leave him alone,
Pinky growled at Jack.
You know he can't read, said Stinky. Shut up,
Cap'n Bones roared at his men.
Jack and I can read,
Annie piped up.
Shh,
said Jack.
Cap'n, make him read the map, said Stinky.
Cap'n Bones gave Jack and Annie a dark look.
Read it,
he growled.
Then will you let us go?
Said Jack. The pirate squinted his good eye.
Aye, lubber. When the treasure's in me hands, I'll let you go.
Okay, said Jack. I'll read it to you. He looked at the map. It says, the gold doth lie beneath the whale's eye.
Aye?
Cap'n Bones scowled.
What's that supposed to mean, lubber?
Jack shrugged.
Hang it. Take 'em back to the ship,
shouted Cap'n Bones.
They can rot there till they're ready to tell us how to find Kid's Treasure.
Jack and Annie were tossed into the rowboat. Waves splashed the sides. The sky ahead was dark with thunderclouds. A strong wind had started to blow.
"Row, dogs, row," said Cap'n Bones.
Pinky and Stinky began rowing toward the big ship.
"Look,"
Annie said to Jack. She pointed to the shore. Polly, the parrot, was flying over the sand.
"She wants to help us," whispered Annie.
Polly started to fly out over the waves, but the winds were too strong. She turned around and flew back to the island. Chapter 6. The Whale's Eye. The rowboat tossed from side to side. The waves were huge. Salty spray stung Jack's eyes. He felt seasick.
"Hold her steady,"
shouted Cap'n Bones. He pointed at the sea.
"Or we'll be meat for those evil brutes."
Dark fins cut through the water. Sharks. One zoomed right by the boat. Jack could have reached out and touched it. He shuddered. Soon the rowboat pulled alongside the ship. The air was filled with wild fiddle music and bagpipes playing. And Jack heard jeers, shouts, and ugly laughter.
"Hoist 'em aboard," Cap'n Bones shouted to his men.
Annie and Jack were hauled onto the deck. The ship creaked and moaned. It rolled from side to side. Ropes flapped and snapped in the wild wind. Everywhere they looked, Jack and Annie saw pirates. Some were dancing, some were drinking, many were fighting, with swords or with their fists.
"Lock 'em in my cabin," Cap'n Bones ordered.
A couple of pirates grabbed Jack and Annie and threw them in the ship's cabin, then locked the door. The air inside the cabin was damp and sour-smelling. A shaft of gray light came through a small round window.
"Oh, man," said Jack. "We've got to figure out how to get back to the island."
"So we can get into the treehouse and go home," said Annie.
"Right."
Jack suddenly felt tired. How would they ever get out of this mess? "We better examine the book," he said. He reached into his pack and pulled out the pirate book. He flipped through the pages. He looked for information to help them.
"Look,"
he said. He found a picture of pirates burying a treasure chest. "This might help." Together, they read the words under the picture. Captain Kidd was a famous pirate. It is said that he buried a treasure chest on a deserted island. The chest was filled with gold and jewels.
"Captain Kidd," said Jack. "So that's the kid that Bones keeps talking about," said Annie.
"Right," said Jack.
Annie looked out the round window.
"And Captain Kidd's treasure is buried somewhere on the island," she said.
Jack took out his notebook and pencil. He wrote, "Captain Kidd's treasure on island."
"Jack,"
Annie said. "Shh, wait a minute," he said. "I'm thinking."
"Guess what I see,"
said Annie.
"What?"
Jack asked. He looked back at the book.
"A whale."
"Neat," he said. Then he looked up.
"A whale? Did you say a whale?"
"A whale. A huge whale. As big as a football field."
Jack jumped up and looked out the window with her.
"Where?"
Jack asked. All he could see was the island and stormy waves and shark fins.
"There,"
said Annie.
"Where? Where?"
"There. The island is shaped like a giant whale."
"Oh, man,"
whispered Jack. Now he could see it.
"See the whale's back?"
said Annie.
"Yep.
The slope of the island looked like the back of a whale."
"See a spout?"
said Annie.
"Yep.
The palm tree that held the treehouse looked like the spout of the whale."
"See his eye?"
said Annie.
"Yep. A big black rock
looked like the eye of the whale. The gold doth lie beneath the whale's eye, whispered Jack. Wow. Chapter 7. Gale's a-blowin'.
So the treasure must be under that rock, said Annie.
Right, said Jack. Now we just have to get back to the island. We'll show Cap'n Bones where the treasure is. Then while all the pirates are digging, we'll sneak up to the treehouse.
And make a wish to go home, said Annie.
Right. Jack poked his head out of the round window of the cabin.
Cap'n Bones, sir, he shouted.
The pirates took up the cry.
Cap'n Bones, Cap'n Bones.
Hey, came a horrible voice. Cap'n Bones stuck his ugly face through the window. His good eye glared at Jack.
What do you want, lubbers?
We're ready to tell the truth, sir, said Jack.
Go ahead, growled Cap'n Bones.
We know where Captain Kidd's treasure is.
Where?
We can't just tell you. We have to show you, said Annie.
Cap'n Bones gave Annie and Jack a long, hard look. You'll need a rope, said Jack.
And shovels, said Annie.
Cap'n Bones growled. Then he roared at his men.
Get some rope and shovels.
Aye, aye, Cap'n.
Then throw these lubbers in the boat. We're going back to the island.
Aye, aye, Cap'n.
Back in the rowboat, Jack saw the sky had grown even darker with clouds. The waves were bigger. The wind was howling.
Gale's a-blowin', said Pinky.
You'll see a gale if I don't get me gold today, by thunder, Cap'n Bones shouted. Row, dogs, row!
The three pirates battled the waves until the rowboat reached the island. They all piled onto the shore. Cap'n Bones grabbed Jack and Annie.
Okay, lubbers, he said. Now show us where the treasure is.
There, said Annie.
She pointed at the black rock near the tip of the island. Under that rock, said Jack. Cap'n Bones dragged Jack and Annie down the beach to the black rock.
Get to work,
Cap'n Bones said to Pinky and Stinky.
What about you, said Annie.
Me? Work?
Cap'n Bones chuckled. Jack gulped. How could they get away from him?
Don't you think you should help your friends? He said.
Cap'n Bones gave Jack a horrible grin.
Nay, I'm gonna hold you too, till there's treasure in me hands.
Chapter 8. Dig, Dogs, Dig. Pinky and Stinky tied their rope around the big rock. The wind howled. The two pirates pulled and pulled and pulled.
They need help, said Jack.
Aye, let the dogs do the work, growled Cap'n Bones.
You're not very nice to them, said Annie.
Who cares? Roared Cap'n Bones.
Come, we got it, shouted Pinky.
They started pulling the rock across the sand.
Now let's dig where the rock was, said Jack. All of us.
But Cap'n Bones ignored his suggestion.
Dig, you dogs, he shouted.
Pinky and Stinky started to dig. The wind blew even harder. There was going to be a thunderstorm.
Oh, I got sand in me eyes, Pinky whined.
Oh, me back hurts, Stinky cried. Dig, shouted Cap'n Bones.
He held Jack and Annie with one hand. With the other, he pulled out the gold medallion. He tossed it at the two pirates. It fell into the hole.
Dig for more of these, you swine, he said.
Squawk!
Look, Annie said. Polly was back. She was circling above them.
Go back,
she squawked. Stinky and Pinky looked up at the parrot. They scowled.
Dig, shouted Cap'n Bones.
A big storm is coming, Cap'n,
said Pinky.
Go back, said Polly.
The bird's an omen, Cap'n, shouted Stinky.
Dig, you dogs, cried Cap'n Bones.
Go back,
squawked Polly.
The bird's warning us, shouted Pinky. We gotta get back to the ship before it's too late.
The two pirates threw down their shovels. They started running toward the rowboat.
Mutineers, come back, shouted Cap'n Bones.
He dragged Jack and Annie down the beach as he ran after his men.
Stop!
But the pirates kept running. They got to the rowboat and pushed it into the sea.
Wait,
cried Cap'n Bones. Pinky and Stinky jumped into the boat. They started rowing.
Wait!
Cap'n Bones let go of Jack and Annie. He ran into the water.
Wait, you dogs!
He hauled himself into the rowboat. Then the three pirates disappeared into the spray of the waves.
Go back,
squawked Polly.
She means us, said Annie.
Just then the storm broke over the island. The wind howled. Rain fell in buckets.
Let's go, cried Annie.
Wait, I have to get the medallion, shouted Jack. He ran to the hole dug by the pirates. He looked down in it. Even in the dreary light, the medallion was shining. Big, fat raindrops were falling into the hole, washing away the sand. Jack saw a patch of wood. Then the rain cleared away more sand, and Jack saw the top of an old trunk. He stared. Was it Captain Kidd's treasure chest?
Hurry, Jack,
cried Annie. She was halfway up the treehouse ladder. I found it. I found it, cried Jack. I found the treasure chest.
Forget the treasure chest, said Annie. We have to go now. The storm's getting worse.
Jack kept staring at the chest. Was there gold inside? Silver? Precious gems?
Come on!
Now Annie was shouting from the treehouse window, but Jack couldn't tear himself away. He brushed the rest of the muddy sand off the chest.
Jack, forget the treasure chest, cried Annie. Let's go.
Go back,
squawked Polly. Jack looked at the parrot. She was perched on the black rock. He stared into her wise eyes. He thought he knew her. Knew her from somewhere else.
Go back, Jack,
she said. She sounded like a person. Okay, it was definitely time to go. Jack took one last look at the treasure chest. He clutched the gold medallion, then he took off, running toward the treehouse. His socks and rain boots were still there. He quickly pulled the boots on. He shoved the socks into his backpack. The rope ladder was dancing wildly in the wind. Jack grabbed it. The ladder swayed as Jack climbed. He was tossed this way and that, but he held on tight. At last, he pulled himself into the treehouse.
Let's go, he cried.
Annie was already holding the Pennsylvania book. She pointed to the picture of Frog Creek.
I wish we could go there,
she shouted. The wind was already blowing hard, but now it blew even harder. The treehouse started to spin. It spun faster and faster. Then everything was still, absolutely still. Chapter 9, The Mysterious M. Drip, drip. Jack opened his eyes. Rain was dripping from the leaves of the tree. They were back in Frog Creek. The rain was softer, the wind was gentler, the air was sweeter.
Oh, man, Jack sighed. That was close.
He was still holding the gold medallion.
Polly's gone, said Annie sadly. I was hoping she might come back with us.
No magic creature has ever come back with us, said Jack. He pulled off his backpack. It was damp with rain and salt water. Jack took out the pirate book. He put it on the stack of books, on top of the dinosaur book and the night book and the mummy book. Then Jack put the gold medallion beside the bookmark with the letter M. Next, he went down onto his knees and ran his finger over the shimmering M on the floor.
"We didn't find any M's on this trip," he said.
"Or the M person," said Annie.
"Squawk!"
"Polly!" Annie cried.
The parrot swooshed into the treehouse. She perched on the stack of books. Polly looked straight at Jack.
What are you doing here?" he asked her.
Slowly, Polly raised her bright green wings. They grew bigger and bigger until they spread out like a huge green cape. Then, in a great swirl of colors, in a blur of feathers and light, in a flapping and stretching and screeching, a new being took shape. Polly was not a parrot any longer. In her place was an old woman, a beautiful old woman with long white hair and piercing eyes. She wore a green feathered cape. She perched on the stack of books, and she was very calm and very still. Neither Jack nor Annie could speak. They were too amazed.
"Hello, Jack. Hello, Annie," the old woman said.
"My name is Morgan Le Fay."
Chapter 10, Treasure Again. Annie found her voice first.
"The M person," she whispered.
"Yes, I'm the M person," said Morgan.
Where are you from?" asked Jack.
"Have you ever heard of King Arthur?" said Morgan. Jack nodded.
"Well, I am King Arthur's sister," said Morgan.
"You're from Camelot," said Jack.
"I've read about Camelot."
"What did you read about me, Jack?" said Morgan.
You're
a witch."
Morgan smiled.
"You can't believe everything you read, Jack."
"But are you a magician?" said Annie.
"Most call me an enchantress, but I'm also a librarian," said Morgan.
"A librarian?"
said Annie.
"Yes, and I've come to the 20th century, your time, to collect books.
You are lucky to be born in a time with so many books."
"For the Camelot Library?" asked Jack.
"Precisely," said Morgan.
"I travel in this treehouse to collect words from many different places around the world, and from many different time periods."
"Did you find books here?" said Jack.
"Oh, yes, many wonderful books. I want to borrow them for our scribes to copy."
"Did you put all the bookmarks in them?" said Jack.
"Yes. You see, I like the pictures in the books. Sometimes I want to visit the scenes in the pictures. So all the bookmarks mark places I wish to go."
"How do you get there?" asked Annie.
"I placed a spell on the treehouse," said Morgan. "So when I point to a picture and make the wish, the treehouse takes me there."
"I think you dropped this in dinosaur times," said Jack. He handed the gold medallion to Morgan.
"Oh, thank you. I wondered where I'd lost it," she said.
She put the medallion into a hidden pocket in her cape.
"So can anybody work the spell?" asked Annie.
"Anybody who tries it?"
"Oh, dear, no. Not just anybody," Morgan said. "You two are the only ones besides me to do it. No one else has ever even seen my treehouse before."
"Is it invisible?" asked Annie.
Yes, said Morgan.
I had no idea it would ever be discovered.
But then you two came along. Somehow you hooked right into my magic.
How?
Asked Jack.
Well, for two reasons, I think, explained Morgan. First, Annie believes in magic, so she actually saw the treehouse, and her belief helped you to see it, Jack.
Oh, man, said Jack.
Then you picked up a book, Jack, and because you love books so much, you caused my magic spell to work.
Wow, said Annie.
You can't imagine my dismay when you started to take off for dinosaur times. I had to make a very quick decision, and I decided to come along.
Oh, so you were the pteranodon, said Annie.
Morgan smiled.
And the cat, and the knight, and Polly, said Annie.
Yes, said Morgan softly. You were all these things to help us?
Asked Jack.
Yes, but I must go home now. The people in Camelot need my help.
You're leaving? Whispered Jack.
I'm afraid I must, said Morgan.
She picked up Jack's backpack and handed it to him. Jack and Annie picked up their raincoats. It had stopped raining.
You won't forget us, will you? Asked Annie
as they put their raincoats on.
Never, said Morgan.
She smiled at both of them.
You remind me too much of myself. You love the impossible, Annie, and you love knowledge, Jack. What better combination is there?
Morgan Le Fay touched Annie's forehead gently, and then Jack's. She smiled.
Goodbye, she said.
Goodbye, said Annie and Jack.
Annie left the treehouse first. Jack followed. They climbed down the rope ladder for the last time. They stood below the oak tree and looked up. Morgan was looking out the window. Her long white hair blew in the breeze. Suddenly the wind began to blow. The leaves began to shake. A loud whistling sound filled the air. Jack covered his ears and squeezed his eyes shut. Then everything was silent. Absolutely silent. Jack opened his eyes. The treehouse was gone. All gone. Absolutely gone. Annie and Jack stood a moment staring up at the empty oak tree, listening to the silence. Annie sighed.
Let's go, she said softly.
Jack just nodded. He felt too sad to speak. As they started walking, he put his hands into his pockets. He felt something. Jack pulled out the gold medallion.
Look, he said. How did...
Annie smiled.
Morgan must have put it there, she said.
But how?
Magic, said Annie. I think it means she'll be coming back.
Jack smiled. He clutched the medallion as he and Annie took off through the wet, sunny woods. As they walked, the sun shined through the woods, and all the wet leaves sparkled. Everything, in fact, was shining. Leaves, branches, puddles, bushes, grass, vines, wildflowers, all glittered like jewels or gleamed like gold. Annie had been right, thought Jack. Forget the treasure chest. They had treasure at home. A ton of it. Everywhere.
We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Magic Treehouse, Book Number 4, Pirates Past Noon, by Mary Pope Osborne. This program was directed by Lewis Milgram, executive producer Lauren Krenzel, text copyright 1994 by Mary Pope Osborne, production copyright 1994 Random House, Inc. All rights reserved. Listening Library presents Magic Treehouse, Book Number 5, Night of the Ninjas, by Mary Pope Osborne. Read for you by the author.
Prologue. One summer day in Frog Creek, Pennsylvania, a mysterious treehouse appeared in the woods. 8-year-old Jack and his 7-year-old sister Annie climbed into the treehouse. They found that it was filled with books. Jack and Annie soon discovered that the treehouse was magic. It could take them to the places in the books. All they had to do was to point to a picture and wish to be there. Jack and Annie visited the time of dinosaurs, old England, ancient Egypt, and a pirate ship. Along the way, they discovered that the treehouse belonged to Morgan Le Fay. Morgan was a magical librarian from the time of King Arthur. She traveled through time and space gathering books. Jack and Annie are about to start a whole new adventure in Night of the Ninjas. Chapter 1. Back into the Woods.
Let's look again, Jack, said Annie.
Jack and Annie were walking home from the library. The path went right by the Frog Creek Woods. Jack sighed. We looked this morning, he said. We looked the day before and the day before that.
Then you don't have to come, said Annie. I'll go look by myself.
She took off into the woods.
Annie, wait, Jack called. It's almost dark. We have to get home.
But Annie had disappeared among the trees. Jack stared at the woods. He was starting to lose hope. Maybe he would never see Morgan again. Weeks had passed, and there had not been one sign of Morgan Le Fay, nor had there been one sign of her magic treehouse.
Jack, Annie called from the woods. It's back!
Oh, she's just pretending as usual, Jack thought. But his heart started to race.
Hurry, called Annie.
She better not be kidding, said Jack. He took off into the woods to find Annie. Night was falling fast. Crickets chirped loudly. It was hard to see through the shadows. Annie, Jack shouted.
Here,
she called. Jack kept walking.
Here where?
He called back.
Here, here!
Annie's voice came from above. Jack looked up.
Oh, man,
he breathed. Annie waved from the window of a treehouse. It was in the tallest oak in the woods. A long rope ladder hung down from it. The magic treehouse was back.
Come on up, Annie shouted.
Jack ran to the rope ladder. He started climbing. He climbed and climbed and climbed. As he climbed, he looked out over the woods. High above the treetops, it was still light. At last, Jack pulled himself into the treehouse. Annie sat in the shadows. Books were scattered everywhere. On the floor, the letter M glowed in the dim light. The M stood for Morgan Le Fay. But there was no sign of Morgan herself.
I wonder where Morgan is, said Jack. Maybe she went to the library to get some more books, said Annie.
We were just at the library. We would have seen her, said Jack. Besides, the library's closed now.
Squeak!
A little mouse ran out from behind a stack of books. It ran to the M shining in the floor.
Yikes! Said Annie.
The mouse sat on the middle of the M. It looked up at Jack and Annie.
Oh, it's so cute, Annie said.
Jack had to admit the mouse was cute. It had brown and white fur and big dark eyes. Annie slowly reached out her hand. The mouse didn't move. Annie patted its tiny head.
Hi, Peanut, she said. Can I call you Peanut?
Oh, brother, said Jack.
Do you know where Morgan is? Annie asked the mouse. Squeak!
You're nuts, Annie, said Jack. Just because the mouse is in the treehouse doesn't mean it's magic. It's a plain old mouse that crawled in, that's all. Jack looked around again. He saw a piece of paper on the floor. What's that? He said.
What's what? Asked Annie.
Jack went over and picked up the paper. There was writing on it.
Oh, man,
whispered Jack after he read the words.
What is it? Said Annie.
A note, said Jack. It must be from Morgan. I think she's in big trouble. Chapter 2, The Open Book. Jack showed Annie the piece of paper. It said, Help me, under a spell, find 4 thin.
Oh, no, said Annie. We have to help her. But what's a thin?
Maybe she was trying to write things, said Jack. See how the N sort of runs off the page?
Maybe the spell was starting to make her disappear or something, said Annie.
Right, said Jack. I wonder if she left any other clues. He glanced around the treehouse.
Look!
Annie pointed at a book in the corner.
That's the only open book, she said.
Jack looked around again.
Annie was right.
He felt a shiver go down his spine. Jack went over to the book and picked it up. He held it near the window. Light from the setting sun was golden on the page. Jack stared at the picture on it. In the picture were trees with white flowers. The trees were on the side of a mountain near a wide rushing stream. 2 people were also in the picture. They wore dark clothes. They had black scarves over their faces and long swords strapped to their backs.
Oh, man, whispered Jack. Who are they?
Annie asked. Ninjas, I think, said Jack.
Ninjas? Really?
Said Annie. Morgan must have left the book open to this page for a reason, said Jack.
Maybe that's where she was when the spell got her,
Annie said. Or maybe that's where the 4 things are, said Jack.
Let's go, said Annie.
Now? Said Jack.
Yes, Morgan's in trouble. She needs us now, said Annie.
But we should read this book first, said Jack, so we'll be prepared.
Forget it, said Annie. Every minute counts.
She grabbed the book from Jack. Give it back, he said. We have to find out about this place. Annie held the book out of reach.
We'll find out when we get there, she said.
We don't even know where there is, Jack said. But Annie pointed at the picture.
I wish we could go here, she said.
The leaves of the oak tree began to shake.
Squeak! Don't be scared, Peanut, said Annie.
She scooped up the mouse, then she put it in the pouch of her sweatshirt. The wind began to blow.
It blew harder and harder.
The treehouse started to spin. Faster and faster, Jack squeezed his eyes shut. Then everything was still, absolutely still, except for the sound of rushing water. Chapter 3, E-Hi. Jack opened his eyes. Annie was already looking out the window. The mouse peeked out of her pouch. Jack looked out the window, too. The air was fresh and cool. The treehouse was in a tree with white flowers. The tree was in a grove of trees on the side of a mountain. Nearby, a wild stream rushed downhill. 2 ninjas were standing on rocks near the water. They were staring at the valley below. 1 ninja was tall. The other was short. They wore black pants and shirts. They had black scarves around their heads and swords strapped to their backs. It was exactly like the picture in the book.
Jack crouched below the window.
Be careful, he whispered, to let them see you.
Why not?
Annie whispered back.
They might think we're some kind of enemy, said Jack quietly.
Annie crouched beside him. Jack pushed his glasses into place. Now he was going to look at the ninja book. He picked up the book. He turned to the beginning. He read, "Very little is known about the shadowy warriors called ninjas. Historians believe that ninjas lived in Japan between the 14th and 17th centuries. Both men and women were ninjas. Sometimes they fought to protect their families. Sometimes warlords hired them to be spies."
Wow, whispered Jack. We're in Japan, hundreds of years ago.
Jack opened his backpack. He pulled out his notebook and pencil. He liked to take notes. He wrote, "Ninjas were warriors in old Japan."
Jack, whispered Annie, they're looking up. I think they know we're here.
Jack peeked over the windowsill. His eyes met the dark eyes of the tall ninja.
Ee-hi,
the ninja cried. He dashed toward the tree. The other ninja followed.
Oh, no, said Annie. We've got to go, Jack said. Where's the Pennsylvania book?
He and Annie looked around wildly. But where was the book about Pennsylvania? It had the picture of the Frog Creek Woods in it. Jack and Annie couldn't get home without it.
It's not anywhere, cried Annie.
We've got to do something. Fast, said Jack. Pull up the ladder. He and Annie grabbed the top of the rope ladder. They pulled the ladder into the treehouse. But the tall ninja leaped at the tree trunk. Then he started climbing up the tree. The short ninja followed. They climbed just like cats. Jack and Annie huddled in a corner. The ninjas climbed into the treehouse. Neither one made a sound.